ShopRockAuto.com.
One of the many parades for Labor Day. Perhaps you were out there among some of the crowds. That one actually took place in Newtown, Connecticut. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, welcoming you to another week, a big week here on America Tonight, because can you believe it? We're already into September. It's just one more week until Congress is back in session. And the president says that he's waiting on Congress. How about that? That might have been the biggest shocker heading into the weekend, I think. The fact that Obama is waiting to secure support from Congress to make the case. And when I say make the case in Syria, this is something we've talked about a lot on this show. And so that's why we're going to kick it off in this direction, because Syria is still on the minds of so many people. It's part of the Sunday swirl, the talking heads, believe it or not, they were still around on a long Labor Day weekend. And the conversation turned to Syria and what to do next. So the president has two Republican senators that he's talking to. And can you guess who those two Republican senators are? Give yourself a pat on the back if you were thinking John McCain and Lindsey Graham, because they've spent a lot of time at the White House, and he's talking to both of them to try to get congressional support for a strike on Syria. This is ahead of a major hearing on Tuesday where the top brass, so to speak, of the national security team, the who's who, are going to make their case to Congress and to the public for necessary military action. So we're the people that they're going to make the case to, and what kind of case do they have to make to you to convince you that any kind of military action is the right way to go here? The Pentagon is already getting ready the Nimitz aircraft carrier for a potential strike. They're ramping up in any way all the presence in that area, and it may be a bit of a fight to get the congressional support. And that's why I think he was cautious in trying to do it this way, although I have to say I was surprised. We had a lot of different people on in the last couple of weeks who felt like, no, the president's just going to, the red line's been crossed, he's just going to go ahead with this, and it's going to be a missile attack, is what so many of us thought. He's just going to lob over some missiles, so to speak, that kind of a strike, and not worry about Congress, come back with Congress on the flip side of it, but that's not happening. There was a one-hour meeting, is what John McCain, Senator McCain, and Graham were involved in this one-hour meeting with the president, talking about the fact that Congress voting against a strike would undermine the credibility of the prez, but they don't know that they're going to get all that support. And this goes rolls back to August 21st and the sarin gas attack that killed 1,400 people, give or take, and Assad's regime, and you know the administration saying, we know it, he ordered this, this has got him written all over this, and will they bide on the hill, and are you buying what may happen here? So we have three ships, if you're keeping score, already there in the eastern Mediterranean Sea. And this is where that missile strike supposedly would happen. It makes sense because if you think of the distance, and of course that's how it would be done. But this still would be considered an attack, and it still would have to be sold. So Kerry is going to testify at an open hearing of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and Kerry will be there with the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who is doing a closed deal. He's testifying at a closed classified hearing of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So they're tag-teaming this in two different directions. And I think the president surprised a lot of people by the decision to wait for Congress to get their stamp of approval, because this military action, as I already said at the top, would be put off at least until the week of September 9th, because that's when full Congress would return from recess. So now that's more time. And what does the delay do? Does it cost the Pentagon money? Well, it has to cost some money because they're burning through fuel, right? They're there in the Mediterranean, waiting. They're burning through fuel anyway. At least we know that, certainly, and probably some other resources as well. And is this giving Assad time to hide chemical weapons, for example? That's the last time we were on the air. That's what I was talking about. Certainly, you could, couldn't they move things around? That's what they would do. So how does the president win your support for a strike? Are you on board with this now that you've seen maybe some of the authentication, that it's absolutely convincing that the chemical weapons were used, and they were used from the Assad regime? China opposes the U.S. acting alone, saying that the response has to conform to the United Nations Charter and the principles underlying whatever the international relations are. So they're concerned about the unilateral military action. They're sticking to that, and they're saying that they released something on that. The Assad regime continues to deny the gas attack. They keep saying that they did not do this, that this was the act of rebels. British Parliament last week, to get you up to date, rejected Prime Minister David Cameron's proposal to endorse any kind of military action against Syria. And if you go back into the Assad history, someone was explaining this to me over the weekend, they've ruled in Syria for 4 decades. A 2-year-long civil war is what Assad has treated his people to, and trying to fend off the challengers, in the name of fending off the challengers, doing some of the horrific things that that have happened. So there were members of Congress, not to confuse people, a full Congress, not back till September 9th, but 83 members of Congress were at a classified briefing Sunday on Capitol Hill. The full House and Senate not back until then. So party leaders could call members back early. They could do a phone deal. That's also another possibility. We talked with former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, last week about that. He said that happened occasionally when he was a congressman. But it appears as though this is a wait thing, that they're gonna wait a week. Sell it, push it, let it percolate, and wait for 1 week until officially everyone's back. So will Congress turn in a different direction and say, we're not going to rubber stamp this? Or is it just inevitable that they'll do it? You can imagine what the conversations will be like, especially, I think I would be interested to hear what they tell James Clapper in that closed session. What is the information that he'll know, that some know, that we don't know, that maybe is a big difference maker? What do you say, America? You can always flip in your two at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, or shoot me an email, americatonight.net. See you in a few. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams. Been haunted by a million screams. I could hear the marching feet. They're moving into the street. Now, did you read the news today? They say the danger's gone our way.
Coming up on America Tonight. We're doing the weekly re-rack, taking you back to a conversation with Derek Green from Project 21 that I thought was very eye-opening about the great Martin Luther King Jr. and celebrating 50 years of I Had a Dream and what it means now and what it meant to him as a kid and how, unfortunately, it's being used in some cases to strike a nerve in the wrong direction instead of in the category of progress. And, you know, that kind of stuff as far as how far have we come since Martin Luther King and Washington filling them all and people just so ready to soak in what Martin Luther King Jr. was telling them. And still, if you look at the speech, it's incredible. If you just read the words, it absolutely comes to life, I think, for me today, as it did when I was a kid and first heard it when I was actually in history class. So Derek Green, I call him Derek G, coming up in our next segment in our weekly re-rack here on America Tonight. Still, the big story is, and there's so many other things that we'll definitely fill you in on, but still one of the big stories is Syria and what the U.S. strike plan might or might not be and what it means and what does it mean to the Syrian rebels. And on our Monday show, we're going to talk with our pal who was in Syria, who spent some time there and came on with us once before from Turkey, Zach Badaroff, and find out more of the things that he's learned since traveling there and really what it's like from his eyes, what he could see with the people and what's really happening on the ground. Not so much what we're reading, what we're hearing from other sources, things that are being reported, but what he saw with his own two eyes. You know, not filtered in any way, just what he was seeing, what was going on and the feeling that he ultimately got from spending time in those areas, in the especially in Syria, in that camp, in the in the Middle East. And there's a, tell you what, there's a lot of people weighing options now in their mind as to what is the right thing to do. What is the thing that you do in, with Syria now that you know for sure, without really a doubt, despite what Assad says, that this gas was used on his own people? I mean, they're already shooting people, and we know that. The bombs are going off all over the place. And it's just kind of an eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing, as if somebody survives or somebody unfortunately finds that a part of their family is missing and they're not sure if they've been hit with some kind of a strike or not. And then the gas came and that made it that much worse. So should the United States take military action against Syrian targets, and what targets will be left? If Assad certainly doesn't understand what's going on now, then he's an idiot, because obviously this is heavily reported everywhere at every twist and turn, and you don't have to be a genius, you don't have to pick through secret information to realize that something's going to go down. And there are some key questions, I think, that have to be answered before we step in that direction. So you have the meeting with McCain and Graham that I talked about at the top in the Oval Office. You have the meeting with the Senate Armed Services Committee. And now what is it going to take to, you know, what's it going to take, first of all, to reverse the minds of some of the people who are loyal, the troops, to the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad? You know, can they do that? They're talking about this so-called free Syria and change the capability of the Syrian army. Be pretty tough to win them over with what they're doing, obviously, in and out of the streets, and who they're loyal to. And how many allies are going to be on board with the United States when it's some, you know, all said and done? Because I'll go back to what I said, the date. This is what's important. August 21st, that attack near Damascus, that's what we're talking about, the 1,400 people who were gassed. And the president said that the use of chemical weapons is a challenge to the world that threatens U.S. allies in that region. You know, think Israel. That's where you've got to be going there, right? Israel, Israel. So time is up. Time is of the essence. And originally, it didn't seem as though they were going to seek any kind of authorization from Congress, but the president decided that he would ask for the support of Congress instead of trying to go it alone. And I think that it was curious to a lot of people. So a statement was finally released from the White House where they said, listen, America is stronger when the president and Congress work together to stand up for national interests. And so they're trying to win over Congress for the authorization. And, you know, ultimately, will they get it? Who knows? You've got the Secretary of State, John Kerry, who was involved with Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, trying to use, you know, because they're offering their military assets, if you will, for action in Syria. They're saying, listen, we can help. What do you need from us? So there's some other people or some other countries bordering that easily can be gone to. And I think that they will take them up on that. So the prospect of military strikes has resulted in a few defections from the Syrian army, but will enough turn around that it'll make a big difference? And I don't know, the action to sell this thing might be a tall order. Might be a pretty tall order, because what are people thinking about with drones? What are people thinking about with missile strikes? Got two words for you. Hook them together. Collateral damage. The collateral damage is expected to be, in these areas, low, but you can't say it's nil. And we've seen before what's happened and what can be often disastrous with drone strikes. You know, and then somebody asked me the big bad question in the mailbag over the weekend. I was going through it, and somebody asked the question. My question is easy. What is it going to cost us? What's it going to cost American taxpayers. How long are we going to be in the middle of this one? And what's going to signify to any of us that we have accomplished the mission this time around? Those are all pretty good questions, aren't they? What's it going to cost the taxpayers? A lot of money. How long are we going to be in there? Who can answer that question? Because doesn't it always seem that we're not going to be there too long, and then it turns into a lot longer? And then what's going to ultimately result in accomplishing the mission? Well, to me, it would have to be taking out Assad. But then you take out Assad eventually, and who's there in place of Assad? Elections, democratic elections for somebody new to step into office? What is going to happen in, Syria? And Syria is there's a big difference with these countries in the Middle East. There's a big difference between Syria and Iraq, a huge difference between those two places. So it's much different when you're talking about offering up the prospect of democracy. And this could really unravel fast, really could. So the 9th will seem like waiting a very long time. The president, in the meantime, is going to keep trying to do what he can, meeting Tuesday with the House Speaker John Boehner, with the Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. I think anyone who's going to listen, but especially anybody who is in a key position to help push the message that this is what we want to do, back us up, help us get congressional bipartisan approval to move and set off this attack. So no vote until they reconvene from recess September 9th. You know, and McCain has been calling for intervention in Syria. If you go back, you can go back to 2012, and he really slammed Obama for seeking any kind of a vote before striking, but did say there is no question, and this would be what I would also throw in, what if Congress rejects the president's call to authorize military force? Well, then what does the president do? That would be a dilemma. That would be catastrophic from a public relations point of view, wouldn't it? All right, I promised that we would re-rack and go back to Martin Luther King Jr. Whoops, the band. Very anxious when we come back from holidays. And we're going to do that next here on America Tonight. Stay with us, kick back, and take a listen. I'll meet you in a few.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
This October, thousands of people from all corners of the world will descend upon Orem, Utah. But it's more than the fall colors or the snow-capped Wasatch Mountains that brings them. It's the semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo at the Utah Valley University Event Center. It's the most unique preparedness event on Earth, with over 30 world-class lecturers giving over 50 presentations. Learn from experts about below-ground greenhouses, super winter survival, herbal medicine, bunker building, even urban evasion and escape tactics taught by SEAL team trainers. These people are the very best, and they only get together twice a year at the Great Utah Preparedness Expo. There's also over 100 vendors selling very unique preparedness, emergency, and survival equipment, plus solar and alternative energy products. The semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo, October 11th and 12th in Orem, Utah. Sponsored by Youngevity. For more, visit superprepfair.com. That's superprepfair.com.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
Available only at hempusa.org. It's the first aid stick, and it's a must-have in any medical kit. With fast, chemical-free healing, the first aid stick stops bleeding, kills bacteria, is great for acne, insect bites, minor cuts and abrasions, will last for years, and is just $11.95. Everyone needs the first aid stick in their emergency kit. Call 888-910-4367. 888-910-4367. The first aid stick, only at hempusa.org.
Of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, I Had a Dream. Derek Green joins us from Project 21. Derek, right off the bat, my question to you is, what would Dr. King think today?
That's a good question, a complex one at that. I think that if Reverend King were alive today and he would be able to take kind of a broad scope of American culture, I think that he would, in fact, be happy with the progress that Black Americans have made, America as a whole, but Black Americans specifically have made since his speech in 1963 up until this day. I think that, you know, when he would look across American culture and American society, he would see Blacks in a number of positions, whether it's elected political leadership, you know, whether they're doctors or lawyers, or other positions of influence that he wouldn't have seen back in 1963. So I think that he would be, I think he would like what he saw. I think that he would still be a bit dissatisfied with the fact that even more Black Americans haven't found maybe the internal drive or the initiative to embrace the freedom that we now have. And so I think it probably would be somewhat bittersweet. I think that he would definitely be happy, but I think that he would be dissatisfied in the fact that more Blacks should have taken the opportunity to embrace the freedom and the promise that his sacrifice led to. Now, having said that, I think that he would be immeasurably disappointed in those people who self-anointed themselves his progeny in the civil rights industry. I think that seeing them and what they've done since his passing, I think he would be very heartbroken that they almost inverted his dream. I think that they, people that came after Reverend King, rather than saying race isn't an issue, have said race is an issue, and because it is an issue, we want this, that, and the other. So I think it would have been a very interesting conversation if miraculously Reverend King were to be resurrected. I think it would be very, very interesting, his perspective.
Yeah, you think about it, again, the time when it was and what happened, and there certainly was massive oppression. There's no question about it. But do you, are you surprised? I mean, here it is 5 decades later, and this is what you're saying as we move forward. You know, here, when you do a talk show, so often we'll hear the phrase, and I hate it, it just makes my skin crawl, oh, there's race baiting, and there's the myth of what's really happening and what's not happening, and the back and forth over half the stories that are out there that involve a crime where it involves somebody who happens to be black, somebody happens to be white, and certainly we know the Trayvon Martin situation and what that turned out to be and how divisive and polarizing it was across the nation. And as you're saying, you think he may be a little bit disappointed in that. Why is that? Why do you think we haven't gotten beyond this?
You know, I think one of the main reasons I think that is because I think that there's a lot of political capital wrapped up in keeping Americans divided by race. I think it goes a long way with emotional manipulation that, you know, comes and bears fruit on election day. So I think that's one reason, specifically as it relates to black Americans. I think that progressive politics has a very, very huge vested interest, cultural interest and political interest in keeping blacks maintaining the type of mentality where they blame everything on racism. Because, again, on election day, you know, blacks come out in, you know, very, very high numbers, as just evidenced this past November. I think another reason for that is that it's no longer a civil rights movement. I think that civil rights, as it was defined back in 1963, I think civil rights have largely been achieved. I think what we see now, what Shelby Steele has called the racial grievance industry, and I think that particular industry, there's a lot of money to be made, there's a lot of careers to be created, and there's a lot of wealth to be redistributed in a racial grievance industry. And so because of that, I think that's why Americans, you know, will largely say, oh, I guess, you know, over the last 6 or 7, 8 weeks that, you know, Americans seem to be more divided by race than it was, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think those two things have a lot to do with it.
What do you think? I was reading a comment today from Congresswoman Marsha Fudge from Ohio, a Democrat, who was asked about the trajectory of race relations. Has it been positive or negative in recent years? And, of course, she's the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, and she was kind of taken aback for a second, you know, kind of paused a little bit, I guess, really to reflect on the question. And she said, this is a quote, she said, right after the election of the president, I would have thought it was going to be in a positive direction, but I'm not so sure anymore. I think we've lost ground as it relates to our tolerance of people who are different or people who we believe have not worked hard enough. You hear the language all the time, and as I was mentioning that talk radio, the buzzwords often primarily directed at low-income people and communities of color. But do you think she's pushing that thing, you know, that agenda kind of forward because Democratic lawmakers say that this is really the state of affairs when it comes to race and progress and civil rights and whatnot? It's the Republicans' fault because they've betrayed the progress. Do you think that's true?
I don't think that's true. I think that what's her initial part of her statement, I think many Americans would agree with. I think that with the election of the first black president back in 2008, I think a lot of Americans thought that this would go over well with improving race relations. I think that when she says she's shocked and surprised, I think she's being a bit disingenuous because she would have to be convicting herself and a number of black Democratic politicians for contributing to that. I think that, you know, we have to understand back in 1963, we only had under five, I think, black congressional members. Now we have close to 50. I think we've made tremendous progress in that area alone. I think that what has happened is, again, people are going around. Okay, so for example, when it comes to President Obama's policy and what he's done, if anybody who is white, you know, raises their voice to criticize what he's done, it's immediately labeled as being racist. If a black person does the same thing, they're immediately denigrated as a sellout or Uncle Tom. And I think that, unfortunately, the Congressional Black Caucus has contributed to that. I think that they're the ones who are saying, you know, people disagree with the president primarily based on race when they have no evidence to support those claims. Another issue that I kind of take umbrage with is the fact that, you know, she's part of the Congressional Black Caucus, which has admitted publicly that they, you know, aren't challenging the president the way they should be precisely because he's black. Now, the previous chairperson of the Congressional Black Caucus, Emanuel Cleaver, came out and said if the president were white, we would be marching around the White House because of his poor economic stewardship. But because the president is black, they defer to him in a way that they otherwise wouldn't. This is what he said. And so when you have a bunch of members that are, you know, representing the Congressional Black Caucus, individual members who represent districts that have some of the highest unemployment in the nation, for them to go out and say that we're not going to do this because of the president's race means that they, too, are convicted of contributing to what this dismay that she complains about. So I think it was a bit disingenuous for her to word the second part of her statement in the way that she did.
Yeah. We're speaking with Derek Green, Project 21. Derek, on a different kind of note, I mentioned for me when I first heard Martin Luther King Jr.'s words, I can remember my mother and my father both telling me about King. In fact, my father died when I was young. It's one of the things I remember about him and how passionate he was about it. We lived in New York and whatnot, and that was heavily emphasized in the curriculum. So it was something that the words were something I knew when I was young. Do you remember what it meant for you when you first heard the "I Have a Dream" speech?
Well, when I first heard it and I guess had knowledge of what he was saying. For me, it was interesting to see a minister be that compelling outside of the church context. It seemed that a lot of people took what he said to heart, and it inspired a lot of people. And for me, at such a young age, what it meant to me is that, you know, the gospel can be preached outside of church, and it can have a greater reach to people outside of the confines of the church building. And so for me, I was kind of moved by that. You know, for me, the benefit of my upbringing, my parents grew up in the South and, you know, they moved out to California. So I got to have and be a recipient of the benefits of much of what was said in his speech. So for somebody to hear that type of speech and realize that, you know, you are receiving what he talked about, it wasn't really until I got older that I could truly understand the scope of what he was saying and how, you know, I was able to benefit from that. And so knowing that I'm benefiting from it, it's disconcerting to hear so many people who also have been beneficiaries of what he spoke about and what his public ministry was able to accomplish to denigrate it in a way to say, well, yes, it's as bad as it was then, or if we still have problems to go. We'll always have problems because we're imperfect people trying to make the best of an imperfect situation. But I think it's just disingenuous, I think, to not acknowledge those benefits that we've come a long way. We've come a very, very long way. And though we may still have areas in which we may need to improve, 2013 America is no way near as racist or as bad as it was back in 1963, and a large part of that, you know, falls upon the shoulders of Reverend King.
I agree. Derek Green, thanks so much for coming on with us. We appreciate it. Project 21. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you helped eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Justin Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. Med Kits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
Tonight, we're going to come back around to Syria again. As I said, we're going to have Zach Badorf back on the show. He was terrific when he joined us from Turkey. And what has he learned since then? We're going to talk about that in a second and some of what that conversation will be like on Monday. But before we dive back into it, a few of you wrote me some whiny letters about not having CBS and worried about football and tired of not seeing your CBS television programs and what was the best thing to do. And, you know, here's the deal. Time Warner was actually handing out rabbit ears. You could get free rabbit ears, you know, from like the 60s. And so we are a Time Warner family. And my husband went down to go get some rabbit ears and said there was some pretty upset people turning in all their gear. Well, lo and behold, maybe football was the threat. I don't know. But Time Warner Cable and CVS reached an agreement to end that month-long blackout and restore programming to 3 million people. Woohoo! Do we have some applause at the mothership? They don't care. They're in Minneapolis. Where's that applause? Come on, you people in the Twin Cities. Don't you feel for us in New York? Los Angeles. Yes. That lone clap. Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Denver, Pittsburgh. Yep. There they are. Give them some Red Bull and they'll do anything. Yep, so all those people who were so worried about not getting football or missing the U.S. Open tennis tournament, which was my beef. Hey, I wanted to see a few. I wanted to see if any Americans did anything, but I couldn't see it because it was blacked out. And really, are you going to go to a sports bar and say, will you turn on the tennis in the middle of college football? No. So I guess I don't have to worry about the rabbit ears anymore. Here's what the deal was. Time Warner customers lost access to everything. Everything CBS, Showtime, movie channels, Smithsonian channel. That's a good channel, by the way. You know, anything that CBS owned. And there was some nasty volleying back and forth. But apparently, they have solved the dilemma. Financial terms weren't released. All we know is that it's back. And that's it. And I love this. The acting chairwoman of the Federal Communications Commission said she was pleased the dispute had been resolved. And the exact quote from Ninon Clyburn was this: media companies should accept shared responsibility for putting their audience's interests above other interests and do all they can to avoid these kinds of disputes in the future. Yeah, right. There's going to be more, trust me, because they're going to want to jack up the prices. It's a racket. It is a racket on either side of this. It's a racket. You know, your parents weren't paying, what, $100, $125 bucks a month for cable, were they? I don't know. Maybe rabbit ears is the answer. So as we come back around, as I mentioned, I'll say it again so everybody knows. September 9th, full Congress is back. Could there be a callback? Certainly there could be. Will there be a callback? I don't know, because the president wants congressional approval for the Syrian strike. He's saying that it's better if Congress works together with him, and that's what he wants to see. So will that happen? And how does he move the needle on that? Well, talking to some of the people he's already talked to, McCain, Graham, that's the first step. Next is Boehner and Pelosi. So it's going to be meeting after meeting on this, I believe. Zach Badorf, who, as I've already mentioned a couple times, is going to join us again. He talked to us last week, and he was terrific in some of the insights and unbelievable things that he shared with us that he saw. And he did an interview where he talked to a Free Syrian Army Brigade commander who said he expects Syrian President Assad's government to be defeated maybe 2 to 3 months after the U.S. bombs strategic targets throughout the country. But the deal is you have to hit those targets. So wouldn't you assume those targets are being moved with all this warning? I would assume that's probably the case. So outside help is certainly the name of the game. The UN is saying over 100,000 Syrian deaths have happened so far in this conflict. But, you know, it's interesting, the interview that Zach did with the Syrian Army Brigade Commander, the former one, he thinks it's much higher than that. He thinks that anywhere from 600,000 to 700,000 people have actually died. Wow. That even puts even more of an emphasis on it, doesn't it? So, finding these targets, uncovering these targets, using satellites, whatever ends up being the route that they'll go as far as nailing down some of what has to happen, and certainly doing anything possible to avoid any kind of collateral damage is so key. is so key. And American troops on the ground in Syria, that's a fantasy. That's not happening. First of all, I don't think that there's a reason for that. It's not going to work. But I don't think there's any chance of that happening. I got several emails about that, and I doubt it. It's that whole missile thing that we've been talking about. But, you know, winning over the American people, winning over Congress, how easy is that? We are a war weary in any way, shape, or form. We are a war weary nation. We are. And some of the foreign policy we are questioning big time. So this is important. And it could be, I agree that it could be catastrophic for the president. If you go in, set your sights on getting that bipartisan approval from Congress, and then what if you don't get it? What if your battle to persuade Congress doesn't work and they don't sign off, and what do? Go ahead anyway? Now that's a predicament, isn't it? The Syrian government, Assad especially, is saying it's a bunch of nonsense. The rebels, he's saying the rebels perpetrated the attack on their people using stolen chemical weapons. And they're saying that's ridiculous. Of course that didn't happen. Getting those weapons, zeroing in on where they are, is so important. And stopping any of the roads to where those weapons are coming in. How are they getting any new weapons? How are they getting any of those weapons? Ultimately, right? So it'll be interesting to talk, I think, to Zach again. And as I said, we're going to do that on Monday. One of the many things we're doing this week on America Tonight. And, of course, Zach is a freelance reporter. He is a military veteran, and he's got lots of experience in this game. And he's reported in just, you name the country, he told us, Pakistan, Afghanistan, the West Bank, Iraq. And he's done some pretty dangerous things, but what a good reporter he is. So cannot wait for that, to talk to him about that. Also coming up this week, since I'm giving you a little bit of a promo here, don't forget we have Nail the Score. It's for three segments on our Wednesday into Thursday show in the third hour, three segments. And it's a chance for you to possibly clear out the prize closet, for what it's worth, of America Tonight, if you can correctly nail the score. It's a lot of fun. You don't have to know anything about football. You don't even have to like football. It's like playing the lottery. Computer picks the game of the week. You pick a side and tell us what you think the final score is going to be. What do you think the final score is going to be when they run the numbers in Congress on this idea to strike Syria? I think it's iffy. I think it's 50-50 at best. At this point, thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.